الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I'm unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pen, and pencil, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those of you who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's subject or topic will be intoxicants, or khamr, K-H-A-M-R, khamr. It basically means the same thing, or what you call khimar, or something that kind of blocks a person from, their senses. And so I want you to turn to chapter 5, verse 90. Again, chapter 5, verse 90. Because today, while you're looking, today we're talking about intoxicants. There are all kinds of ways that people get intoxicated, and they get high, and some say it's okay, including some who are Muslim. They think that it's okay to get high, and no, it's not okay. You may go to some countries where the majority of people there are Muslims, and then you see that yes, they sell alcohol. This is wrong. This is not from Islam. This is from some other belief, but not the Islamic belief. And they are not to just say, "Oh, we only sell it because we're going to sell it to non-Muslims." You shouldn't sell it at all or have it in your presence at all, and don't make it convenient for other people to get it. They know when they come to your town or they come to your country, there is no alcohol served there. And that's the bottom line. Or don't bring any with you. And so, of course, alcohol being available in airports and stores and the like, okay, people are going to buy it, and of course, people are going to drink it, and that's going to be non-Muslims and Muslims. And so, again, chapter 5, verse 90, it says, "O believers, intoxicants and gambling games of chance, dedication of stones, paying tribute to idols, and division by arrows," meaning lotteries, "are the filthy works of Shaitan. Get away from them so that you may prosper." Again, I'm only focusing mainly on the intoxicants being something that is forbidden and a filthy work of Shaitan. Of course, gambling is something that we can't do, and we cannot do as Muslim. We cannot do lotteries or games of chance. In America, I know other places, they have lottery tickets, and people get scratch off in other kinds of ways, and they say, "Okay, give me this number, that number, I'll play it." And then at the end of the day, or something like that, 2 days later, then they see if their number comes up, and then they win. Or they have scratch off, where they would scratch the numbers out on the card, and then hopefully they get particular numbers there, or match particular numbers, or some fruit, or something like that. And then at that point there, also they're gambling. This is something that is wrong in Islam. And of course, the topic today is intoxicants, which is another thing that is wrong in Islam. And because a person does it, does not make it right. Because a non-Muslim does it, does not make it right. Because the Muslims are doing it, it also does not make it right because of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and Allah, both of them said that you cannot do these things. Both of them said it is forbidden to use these things or to gamble or do a lottery or of course intoxicant or to drink. So we cannot do these things, my beautiful brothers and sisters and my students, because it is the amal shaitan. It is the work of shaitan, and we don't want to be involved in the filthy work of the shaitan. So please keep this thing in mind, my beautiful students. And so now I'm going to move on, and in chapter 2, verse 219. That's chapter 2, verse 219. And in this particular verse, it's basically saying the same thing. I'm just going to read the first portion of it, not the whole thing because of time. They ask you, or thee, someone sometimes say thee, they ask you concerning wine and gambling. Say, in them is a great sin and some profit for men, but the sin is greater than the profit. So yes, a lot of men, women, whomever, they make a lot of money off of gambling and a lot of money off of billions of dollars off of gambling and billions of dollars off of selling a wine or alcoholic beverages or any kind of way of a person becoming intoxicated. And so, yeah, you have profit, a lot of profit. Some people there, this is their family for generations. This is how their family makes their money to have vineyards, for example. And you in the vineyards, you have grapes. Okay, grapes are harmless. But then as those grapes are turned into wine, then they become harmful. And I'm getting to other types of wines that people can make or things that people can use that, of course, initially things are not harmful. Dates, grapes, and the like. But if they're fermented or they produce it a certain way, then at that point they turn into intoxicant and alcohol added to it. At that point, they are not good. People profit from those, but the sin is great. Meaning the sin of a person getting high. And the sin, first of all, Allah and his prophet, they forbid it. It's a great sin right there. And then you take it in, and then what comes out your mouth sometimes when you drink alcohol, maybe something that wouldn't normally come out of your mouth. Or some of the things that you do when you drink alcohol, you may do it and not do that at other times. Because it's a thing that makes it so that you're not inhibited. You do whatever you want, say whatever you want because you're intoxicated. This is not the reason that you don't drink, because you have these inhibitions. You just do whatever you want. No, that's not it. It's just that Allah said don't do it. The Prophet said don't do it. And for a Muslim, that's enough. Or for a Muslim, it should be enough. Also, it is mentioned that when the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second surah of the Quran, or a second chapter in the Quran, the one we just read from, about usury or riba was revealed, the Prophet went to the mosque and recited them in front of the people, and then banned the trade of alcohol. It's no trading of alcohol, no drinking of alcohol. Matter of fact, when the people find out, okay, we can't do alcohol, some people immediately stop doing it. They immediately start pouring it. The streets, was running red with the wine. I had wine all over the place. People have poured it out because it initially was okay to do. But then again, the name of the Prophet, he said, and look, Allah said, you don't do it. And they heard and they obey. Atil atil Rasul. Obey Allah and obey his messenger. And so they immediately threw the wine and alcohol out with no questions asked by many of them. And I had promised earlier about the different types of wine that people use or things that are allowed to do and eat whatever, a drink is okay. But then when you take it and you produce it in a certain way and add alcohol in it and it become intoxicant, you can't really consume these things that I'm getting ready to mention. It was narrated by one of the prophets' companions. He said, "I heard the apostle of Allah say, wine is made from grape syrup, raisins, dried dates, wheat, barley, millet, and I forbid you from every intoxicant." So it doesn't matter, bottom line is, it doesn't matter what the wine is made from, the alcoholic beverage is made from, it is forbidden. Oh, it's made from grapes, it's made from wheat, it's okay. Wheat is natural. Grapes are natural. Or it used to be wine, or it used to be dates. No, it is wrong. You're not supposed to drink from it, sip from it, anything like that. Those types of intoxicants, because it intoxicates a person, and it's forbidden for us to use. So if you see a Muslim using it, they're wrong. I mean, that really is the bottom line. You see a Muslim drinking it, they're wrong. Even if, for example, you have people who say, for example, you go to a Muslim country, a predominantly Muslim country, and they had this big gala or something like that, and they're serving some non-Muslims. They may even have it that they're serving the non-Muslim alcohol. Muslims may not drink it. I don't know. They may drink it, but they're serving alcohol. Matter of fact, there are some sayings that we should even basically sit at the table, if possible, where alcohol, a place where alcohol is being served. And so we had to stay away from it to the best of our ability. And I know it's hard to do. It's hard to do when you go to certain restaurants, particularly here in America. They have bars where they serve the alcohol. That's for the individual to make a decision if they're gonna go to that bar or not go to that restaurant and not go to that restaurant. That would be their decision to make. But I'm just saying what Allah said, what the prophets say, what is forbidden for us, which is alcohol, intoxicant, which is forbidden to the Muslim to drink or even to smoke, because it's a form of intoxicant when a person smokes something. They may smoke marijuana, for example, or some other things they may smoke. Sometimes they may even smoke some other types of drugs. Instead of putting it into their arm or take it up their nose, they may smoke it and get high from it and get intoxicated from it. This thing is an intoxicant, so this thing is wrong. Sometimes people make all kinds of excuses to use intoxicants, but no excuse is welcome. In Islam, there's no excuse that is welcome. You just wrong in what you're doing, and you're going against the Prophet, and you're going against Allah in terms of both of them saying intoxicants, they're great sins, and we're not supposed to do it. It is also related, pertaining to a person who intoxicate themselves. The Apostle of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, or the Apostle of Allah, may peace be upon him, said, every intoxicant is khamr, wine, for example, and every intoxicant is forbidden, as I mentioned before. Intoxicant, alcohol, wine, smoking something is forbidden. If anyone drinks wine, Allah will not accept prayer from him for 40 days. But if he repents, Allah will accept his repentance. If he repents, repeats it a fourth time, it is binding on Allah that he will give him Tinat el-Kabal to drink. He was asked, what is Tinat el-Kabal, Apostle of Allah? He replied, discharge of wounds flowing from the inhabitants of hell. If anyone serves it unto a minor who does not distinguish between the lawful and the unlawful, it is binding on Allah that he will give him to drink the discharge of wounds flowing from the inhabitants of hell. So this is one of the things that a person will drink in hellfire. It will be something flowing from the person's body or from the wound of a person's body. This is what the person will drink. And if a person drinks and asks forgiveness from Allah, okay, Allah is forgiving, most merciful, but he keep doing it a fourth time, then it's binding on Allah for the individual to only drink this pus, if you will, from his own sweat, from his own body. That'll be part of his punishment in the grave. And so he wants to avoid that as much as possible. People might say, okay, I can handle that. Let me drink now and keep me happy now, and then I'll just drink that pus later on. I mean, it's like pus forever, unlimited pus. You don't stop drinking this stuff or receiving the torture in the grave. It's not a pretty place. Go to some of my previous episodes, and I talk about the hellfire and what happens in the hellfire. And also I talk about paradise and what happens in paradise. And you make the decision which one sounds good to you, to be in there for a great time, a long time, forever in some cases. So you make the choice, each and every one of you, my students, Muslim, non-Muslim, you will make that choice. So do you want to drink from the discharge of wounds flowing from the habitus of hell? Because you want to just get a little taste now and then here in this world? Do you want to do that, really? You really do not want to do that. You do not want to do that at all and be one of the ones that would drink this particular pus, if you will, or this kind of flowing from the discharged wounds of the inhabitants of hell. It is also mentioned, again, the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he forbid wine, also game of chance, maysir. Also they had drum here, kubah, and wine made from mallet, saying every intoxicant, again, is forbidden. So don't say, I could do this, I could do that, it's okay. No, if it intoxicates you, it's not okay, and you need to stay away from it as much as possible. It's also mentioned, my beautiful students, is that Abu Musa, one of the companions of the Prophet, said that the Apostle of Allah said, in every country, a special alcoholic beverage called al-bit is prepared for drinking. The Prophet said, every intoxicant is prohibited. So some people, I might get into a little more later on, some people say, well, we do this kind of intoxicant, we do that kind of intoxicant. This is what is in my country. Is this forbidden? Because they kind of play with the Prophet, if you will. You know, kind of play games, if you will. Oh, we do this, it's forbidden. And we do that, it's forbidden. And he said, oh, every intoxicant is forbidden. Everything. Everything falls underneath the umbrella of being forbidden. Don't make up a reason to get high, to get intoxicated, because it is forbidden. It is forbidden for us to drink certain things, to smoke certain things, put certain things in our arm. All these things are intoxicating and intoxicate us, and we want to stay away from it as much as we can. And we see here, earlier I mentioned that Allah's curse upon the person who is intoxicated. And Allah will not accept the intoxicated person's prayer for 40 days. Although, my understanding from scholars, they still have to make the prayer. They say, oh, Allah not going to accept my prayer for 40 days. That means for 40 days, I don't have to make the prayer. I don't have to get up for the morning prayer or stay up for the late night prayer or do the ones in between. We do 5 daily prayers. I don't have to do that because Allah not going to accept my prayers for 40 days. No, we still have to make the prayer. It's still obligated for us, our obligation to make the prayer. Only thing is, it won't be accepted by Allah for that period of time. So why even take that chance? Even a person who doesn't get intoxicated, we worry about, is Allah going to accept my prayer or not accept my prayer? Did I do it properly or did not do it properly? Concern just those little things. That I remember all the different things I'm supposed to do with my prayer. I did I forget some things? I did I add anything on? Those are like normal things Satan whispers in our ear and bother us while we're making a prayer, and we ask Allah to protect us from the Satan. I mean, but the thing is, this extra thing of being high and Allah not accepting our prayers for 40 days. It's an additional thing that you put it on yourself, my students who are Muslim, and those who may decide to embrace Islam one day, that you don't put this on yourself. You don't do it. I don't care if all the Muslims around you are doing it, or all the people around you are doing it. That's no excuse. You can't go before Allah and say, oh Allah, I did it because the people did it. No excuse whatsoever. Then you will suffer like the people are suffering, and you will drink what the people drink in the hellfire, and you will not be going to paradise because of the action that you did. You did the action. And Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night, so the sun can see what you do and hear what you say. And also you have an angel on your right side writing down your good deeds, angel on the left side writing down your bad deeds. And so they're writing these things down, what you do and what you say. So you're not getting away with anything at all. You're not saying, I'm going to sneak this drink in the dark in the closet. No one's going to see me. Or in the car, take a little puff or something. No one's going to know anything about it because no one's around. Okay, you're right. No one's around, but Allah is there. The angels are there, and writing down your deeds and written in your book. And Allah is well aware of those things that you're sneaking around doing. If you're doing these kind of things now and drinking or whatever you're doing to get intoxicated, it's simple. Just stop. If you know, in America, we have these places, so rehab places where people go to because they're hooked on drugs or they're hooked on alcohol or something like that. And so they can go to these places and people help them. These services that they offer, people help them get through it and stop doing it. If you need to do that, and then you do that. Also make dua and ask Allah to help you. Get up at the hajjah, like around 2 in the morning, everyone else is asleep, and you ask Allah, oh Allah, I got this burden on me of this drinking problem. Please Allah, help me to get rid of it. Allah, He hears. And He may get you off of that and help you through that. It may not be easy for you to do so. It's going to be painful for you to do so, but you should do so and make it work. At least you try. And if you die while trying, then Allah may forgive you because you tried to stop, to get whatever's going on with you, whatever you were drinking, whatever you were smoking, whatever you were inhaling. It's not too late to stop doing that thing. Whatever you kind of get this kind of drink, you get this courage, whatever it is you need to do. I can't make it through the day without a drink. Well, you can make it through the day without a drink. There are many days before you started drinking that you made it through the day. And you can do the same thing now. All you have to do is decide, I'm going to stop before Allah takes my soul. And I'm going to get the help I need and ask Allah to help me that I can stop with the drinking of the alcohol or the smoking or the putting stuff up my nose or whatever way or shooting something into my arm, whatever way that I get intoxicated. I'm going to ask Allah to help me with this thing so I can stop doing this thing. Now, there are certain punishments in terms of from the worldly side, if you will, for man. For a person who does this kind of thing, a person who drinks. Say, for example, a person is caught drinking. So in many Muslim societies, this is what they do, and this is what some of our scholars say. Okay, you have some schools of thought, Islamic schools of thought, that consider drinking of alcohol a crime. They disagree about the number of lashes on which should be inflicted. You have one school of thought, Hanafi school of thought. They say 80 lashes, and the same view is by Maliki and Hanbali schools. These schools of thoughts, they say you get 80 lashes if you caught drinking. And then you have other schools of thoughts, which is the Hanbali and also Shafi and others. They say the punishment is 40 lashes. Some scholars say 80 lashes, some scholars say 40 lashes, but who wants even one lash for being punished for drinking? Just don't do it. And each and every one of us, we should not do this thing. It is also mentioned by one of the prophet's companions. He said, a person came from Jayshan, a town of Yemen. And he asked Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, about wine which was drunk in their land and which was prepared with mallet. And was called Mazir. M-A-Z-R. Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, asked whether that was intoxicating. He said yes. Thereupon, Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, said, every intoxicant is forbidden. Verily, the exalted, the majestic, made a covenant to those who drink intoxicants to make them drink atin al-kabal. They asked, Allah's the messenger, what is, which I mentioned this earlier, anat, I'm sorry, what is tanat al-kabal? The Kabbal. He said, it is the sweat, of the dissidents of hell, or the discharge from these inhabitants of hell. And so again, I mentioned earlier, this sweat from the people of hell, a discharge from the people of hell that people would drink. Although in Yemen, they drunk something, okay, it had another name to it, and the prophet is, okay, I hear you, but does it intoxicate? I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you do in your, basically, I don't care what you do in your country. Does it intoxicate the people? And the man, he said, yes, it does. And then he said what? He said, every intoxicant is forbidden. So if a thing, people come with all kinds of intoxicants, all kinds of ways of getting high. Right now, today, they come with different ways of getting high. And then tomorrow, they come with another way. And a week from now, come with another way, and another, and another, and another, another way. Some people in America, for example, they used to drink what it's called Robitussin. They would drink this kind of cough medicine that people use for colds. And they would basically get high off of it. And so, or they would take some glue, put it inside a bag, and then they would sniff the bag. I'm not trying to give you all ideas, not at all. I hope that's not what you think I'm doing. I'm just telling you what people used to do, and don't go out and try it. So I'm just letting you know what people used to do to get high. More than just wine or alcohol. Then you get high of other products. And so still intoxicate, and still is wrong, and still is forbidden, and forbidden is in Islam. And if you offer people, they used to use bath oils or something like that, bath beads, if you will, and they would get high off it. And don't ask me how they did it. People find ways of getting high off of different things and get this kind of charge, if you will, off of different things. But if it intoxicates, it is what the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, every intoxicant is forbidden. And the last thing I want to remind us of, Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, said, every intoxicant is khamr. And every intoxicant is forbidden. He who drinks wine in this world and dies while he is addicted to it, not having repented, will not be given a drink from paradise or from the hereafter or of paradise or Jannah. And so the warning, if you're getting high here, you're drinking here, and you died addicted to it, drinking it, whatever, then and not repenting, you say, oh man, I got away with it. I drunk all my life and I died. I got away with it. No, you got away. It just began for you. You didn't get away with anything because you will not have the drink from the paradise. You find out and learn more about the Islamic faith and to increase your knowledge of Islam, I advise you to go to Why Islam. Also, you can get more education about Islam from the International Online University, also from American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Aid Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.